I am ashamed of my weakness and misplaced loyalty, of the things I did for Mr. Trump in effort to protect him and promote him.
He is a racist. He is a con man. He is a cheat. And he's our president?
He ain't mine.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. Today's hour, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, because Chris was off from school, so we're like, why not?
Snow day.
That's right. So you can listen to that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and as always, I'm here with my two crazy amigos, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And?
Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
So we've got so much to cover, so much happening in the next 2 or 3 days. And then, of course, next week. So I'm super excited about that, you know, to talk about some of the things that we've been working on. One of the stories for Tales from the Tale. So I'm super excited about that. And it's all in good fun. And of course, supporting our good co-host Chris here. So anyway, welcome to the show. So I'm going to kick it off to you guys. We're going to talk a little bit about our weekends and then move on to our stories. So Christopher, why don't we throw it your way? Because you've been wanting to like tell us a story since you got here and we just keep like dodging you. But anyway.
Because you two are both just terrible and I love you.
I know.
So speaking of terrible, I hung out with Liz this weekend.
Oh, we know. Oh, mama. Mama.
So Friday I worked. And then Saturday I also worked, and we decided Liz was going to come over, and she's going to help me study for my biology exam, because she's, you know, working on becoming a nurse. So she came over, you know, like 4 hours late, and she was hammered, just the way I like her. So we started doing the studying, and the only thing worse than my handwriting was her English. Like, I looked right in the face and I said, I'm going to have to look up all these answers again when you leave.
So she was speaking cursive?
Oh, she was speaking in fucking cursive. Like,
it might have been another language.
Maybe
German.
Perhaps. So anyway, so we're hanging out and she knows that I had to drive up to Windsor Locks the next day because I had to pick up something from my parents' house.
And it's rough. Didn't it snow up there?
It hadn't started yet.
But it snowed that Friday into Saturday, did it not?
No, I mean, the roads were fine when I drove up there. Okay. So anyway, so, you know, Liz gets up. She's a freaking hot mess. She passed out on my couch, snoring like God knows what.
At mom's house?
Oh, no. In my apartment. Oh, she was like dying on my couch. So, you know, she takes a shower and she goes to have brunch with all of her softball friends. I fucking look on my freaking chair. And the bitch left her fucking debit card.
Oh, so you
at
know.
At my house.
So you can't leave now because she has to come back and get it.
No, she's not coming back to get it. I had to drive my ass to Woodbridge before going up to Windsor Locks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and long story. And then I walk in and everyone from the softball team sees me. So of course I'm going to stay and make Liz buy me a couple drinks. I was like, of course you can buy me a couple glasses of wine. Thank you. So yeah, I ended up hanging out there for
glasses.
A bit.
Who the hell is she kidding?
I had a couple mimosas.
She walked in here reeking like alcohol. Like, literally, we're out on our way out.
Facts.
To have a cigarette. And I'm like, dude, you reek of alcohol.
It lingers with me for some reason. Yeah, well. And then I finally made it up to Windsor Locks, did what I had to do. And then I went to this bar in close to my house because the snow was really starting to come down. I hung out with this couple that I've befriended. I've told you guys about them. So shout out to Kev and Bobby.
Oh, hey, Kevin, Bobby.
And then I went home and I passed out immediately.
These names sound so familiar.
Yeah, different Bobby.
Oh, okay.
So that was my weekend.
That's nice.
Yes.
And you finally got to tell the whole story.
Yes.
I'm proud of you.
Now that I hear it again, it's not that exciting.
I know, which is why we were like walking away. I'm like, what? It's like, yeah, it's typical for you to not be able to speak English.
No, I was speaking English perfectly fine. It was Mama, Liz who's like, it starts with the right atria to the right ventricle. Those are actual parts of your heart. But yes, that's what she sounded like.
So Trish, what did you do this weekend?
Oh, well, let's see. I went to the Dorothy Awards this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So the Dorothy Awards are, it's basically the gala for the New Haven Pride Center. So it's their biggest fundraiser of the year. It was a lot of fun. Partners, the bar we work at, was being honored. And they did a great speech.
Yeah, Bernard's speech was fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good. And they raised more money this year than they have in the previous 16 years, I believe it's been going on. But it was a lot of fun. They had drag shows. The Imperial Sovereign Court was performing.
Of all Connecticut. Mm-hmm. That's important.
And I saw a lot of really great people in our community. And we had a really good time. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
And then I worked last night. And here I am. It's Monday. And somebody had to peel me out of my bed this morning. made it to work.
I was going through it. Mm-hmm. I was going through it this morning. I worked as well last night and Saturday. I didn't go to the Dorothy Awards because someone needed to stay at the bar and work. And I wanted to because, you know, honestly, I needed the money.
So did I. But
so I opted to work instead. And then last night, in the midst of all the storm, you know, right before I left the house, I went and I did my entire walkway, my driveway and my sidewalks. And then when I came back home at 1:15-ish, somewhere around there, I started plowing again and literally just did my walkways, my driveway, and my sidewalk. And then when I woke up this morning, I went out there at 6:45 and started plowing and doing all that stuff all over again. It was just like, what the hell? The snowpocalypse.
Yeah.
I love how you say plowing. She was shoveling.
Yeah.
She was shoveling.
I was plowing.
You know, I went to the Dorothy Awards perhaps 4 or so years ago, mm-hmm. when Joe Goodwin, the owner of York Street Cafe, was the recipient of the award. And it was really cool because I'm not sure if he's still the mayor, but we sat down with the mayor of Hartford at that time.
Pedro?
He and his husband.
Great guys.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I know Pedro personally because I used to hang around a lot in Hartford when he was mayor. And
is he still mayor?
No.
He's not mayor anymore. At the time, he was the mayor, and we had dinner with him and his husband.
He used to throw some amazing parties at his house. Amazing. And I mean, food galore, drinks, everything. Awesome. Very awesome guy.
Yeah, it was a really good time. And I do have to say that Patrick Dunn, that man, Kiki, Patrick, whoever you are, we love you. He is taking the Pride Center in such a positive direction.
I agree.
At the end of the night, they did a fundraiser for the scholarship, and they actually had a match this year, which was awesome. So if they raised $5,000, it would have been matched with $5,000, which they did. They did more than that. I think they did $15,000 or $16,000.
That's awesome.
But before that, he kind of gave us a preview of where the center is going in the next year or so. And he is just taking the Pride Center to a level that... I mean, I slammed them on the show, remember? Mm-hmm. A long time ago.
But it wasn't Patrick at the time.
No.
Right,
no.
Right.
No, but he is taking it to a place where...
Where it needs to be.
Yeah. And I mean, like, he's all about inclusivity. He's bringing in not only the New Haven community, but, like, he honored somebody from Waterbury. It was really amazing to see how he's, like, really embracing not just New Haven, but the state.
Yeah.
And he's... Because honestly, at the end of the day, New Haven, the New Haven Pride Center, is kind of the beacon for, in my opinion, for all like LGBTQ rights and support throughout the state. I really think it is.
Well, I mean, when you really think about it, there isn't one center that really has like cemented itself as a statewide agency to really advocate for LGBT rights. And I think that doing that is very smart,
mm-hmm.
because the New Haven Pride Center, it had its moments and where, you know, membership was declining. And when Patrick came on board, I remember we've had Patrick on the show as Kiki.
We should have him back to talk about the future, but...
Absolutely. Yeah. But we've had him on the show multiple times to talk about events and different things that the center has done. Patrick also put us in contact with amazing individuals, like, for example, Alok, when they came on and decided to do our show for one of our transgender spotlights. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, it was just breathtakingly amazing. And, you know, the thing is that... I said to him, I said, listen, you're going to do amazing things because your drive is just incredible. And what you do as a person and how you interact with the community is just incredible. So I know that you're going to do amazing. And, you know, he does. He just does really, really good work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And New Haven definitely is a safe haven for the LGBT community, especially when you look at Yale. Yeah. That massive university is incredibly gay friendly. Mm-hmm. And it's so important at a time like this where we know that President Trump is issuing an executive order to push for free speech at colleges is what mm-hmm. he calls it. But what he's doing is he's pushing for hate speech. He's pushing to get white nationalists, white supremacists to be able to speak at these colleges and universities and put down minorities, put down people of color, put down people that are same-sex oriented, or especially, of course, going to be attacking the trans community. You know, people like Milos or stuff like that, that's what he's pushing to get into these universities. So it's so important that we have this kind of beacon of hope in New Haven.
Yeah.
Weird segue, though. Last night, we had a weird night at the bar because it was, like, really bad outside. So mm-hmm. we didn't have a lot of people come in, but we did have a group of Yale students come in. And they were, some of them were Yale students, and a good portion of them were auditioning for the program.
Yep.
And holy shit.
The talent.
Oh my God.
The talent.
I mean, I could sit here and tell you which one got in, which one didn't. But that being said, there was this one girl, there was this one individual, and they were so amazing.
And so energetic and so, like, in your face,
and
but
you
in
wouldn't
a beautiful
it.
Way.
Are we talking about the same person? The one that sang Lady Gaga, was it? No.
Oh, wait. You're talking about the smaller, very frail frame.
Uh-huh.
She was absolutely stunning.
She
amazing.
Started singing, and I was like, holy
shit. The hell is this?
Yeah. Holy shit, you sound exactly like this person. And she...
Can I mention names?
They sang... Nah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, okay.
They sang a couple times, and I, every time, I was just floored. And it just goes to show you that, like... Our community, no matter how you look at it, they bring so much life and vibrance to everyone. And mm-hmm. and like, I would have never, looking at this individual, expected what came out of her.
And they so them. Tiny. And it was just like
English
the
is hard.
Voice, the voice that just emanated from this person was just absolutely incredible. The talent is there, but there were other individuals. I mean, there were a lot of people that came out thinking we were going to have a slow night at the bar.
Yep.
And like when I got there was one individual, and then there wasn't one individual, and then like 25 just showed up all at one time. And then even my boss said, like, dude, start karaoke early, I don't care. Yeah. And so I did, and oh my God, they were amazing. Mm-hmm. They were, truly were. It was overall a good night. I had plenty of singers that really just got up there and just, wow. There were a couple of them. I was just like, holy shit.
It was actually funny because somebody came in as we were starting, and then you started singing, and he looked at me, and he was like, oh, so like, this is legit. I was like, oh yeah, don't mm-hmm. don't suck. Like this is, it's kind of like American Idol. At the local gay bar.
Yeah. So one of the students actually came over to me. She goes, like, you have an absolute beautiful, amazing range and voice. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. My head's getting really big right now. And, you know, and she was like, no, but don't let it get that big, but it's fabulous. And I'm like, thank you. You know, it's always good to see fellow vocalists be able to admire the gift that they're given. And there were certainly a lot of talented people in that room yesterday.
Yeah.
So
totally.
I'm appreciative because, you know, they come out to the show and all that good stuff. And speaking of that, CT's Best Now is doing their polling again. And I know that Partners, the bar that Nick and I work in, has won this award, Best LGBT Bar in Connecticut for several years now. And so I posted something on my personal Facebook page for those of you who are personal friends on my Facebook. It's also public. You can share it. Click on it and vote. And you can also vote for, you know, Connecticut Best Karaoke too. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Wow. Shameless plug.
I was just about to say that.
And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. All right. Well, listen, we do have some things that we want to talk about. But before we do, I'm going to kick it over to Chris because he's going to tell us what our suggested cocktail is for today.
Yes. Our signature suggested cocktail is actually a really cool drink. Now, mm-hmm. it might sound strange, but I promise you it is
absolutely delicious.
We've done variations of cocktails with leaves in it.
Mm-hmm.
And trust me when I tell you, they're delicious.
Mm-hmm. We've even incorporated sage and pumpkin. Pumpkin butter in one cocktail. Pumpkin butter. And I love that.
Truth.
So this cocktail is called the Basil and Bourbon. You have a little muddling to do, so there's a little work for it, but it consists of 8 basil leaves, 1 cherry tomato, 1.5 ounces of bourbon, 3/4 ounce of fresh lemon juice, and 1/2 ounce of simple syrup. You muddle the basil and tomato with the simple syrup in a shaker, add the bourbon, the lemon juice, and ice, shake it vigorously, and strain very well into a chilled cocktail glass, and then you're going to garnish that with a Lusardo cherry, which are maraschino cherries that are soaked in port wine. They're absolutely fantastic. They're not those bright red, like, sugary cherries. They are a deep, deep, deep purple, and they're absolutely delicious, and this cocktail is also absolutely delicious.
That sounds delicious.
So that's the basil and bourbon.
Oh.
Enjoy.
And we've had, like, we use mint in our cocktails sometimes. We use, we've used basil before. Mm-hmm. We had a martini when we first started doing the show that was a basil-based martini.
I think it was a basil watermelon.
Yeah, and then we also took, like, a whole watermelon and you know, like, literally blended it down until it was liquid.
That's when Chanel came on.
I think Sarah Taryn was with us that day.
Oh.
It was a huge, massive watermelon.
No, I remember that.
Maybe we made it twice.
I remember Chanel said
blended the watermelon, put it inside of it.
You borrow the, what do you call those things that you stick in? Like the spouts?
Yeah.
From
spigot.
The spigot, yeah. From your sister, spout, and we broke one. Remember, you're like, oh, shit, she's gonna be pissed. I remember that. Yeah, no, but it was fun. It was delicious. I remember that cocktail very much.
Nice.
So, yeah. Awesome. Fabulous.
Enjoy.
What did I do here?
I don't know.
So, we were publishing on our live stream for video, and for whatever reason, the feed was interrupted. So, I've been over here trying to sort of kind of get that reestablished. And
so, while you do that, do you want us to talk about something else?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So, I wanted to bring up a story that I'm kind of back and forth about. So Cottonelle, I know that people have seen this. The toilet paper ad for Cottonelle.
Oh.
It's adorable in a way, but it's also like kind of like what? So I wanted to bring it up. I'm gonna play it. Hold on 1 second. Let me just make sure I gotta restart it from the beginning.
I muted your computer, by the way.
So before they sit you down, give your booty confidence boost.
Hold on.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Difficulties.
Down there. Because today you meet the parents. So before they sit you down, give your booty a confidence boost with cleaning ripples.
Yeah.
Remove more at once for a superior clean and make you feel like the kind of guy he takes home to mother. Care. Down there care with Cottonelle.
All right, so I'm gonna start that
down there care with Cottonelle. Down there. Because today you meet the parents. So before they sit you down, give your booty a confidence boost with cleaning ripples that remove more at once for a superior clean and make you feel like the kind of guy he takes home to mother. Care. Down there care with Cottonelle.
Oh my God, I freaking love it.
Okay, so I wanted to, so it's adorable, and yeah, we all need to take care of our tushies. That being said, like, interesting way to finally incorporate homosexuality into your advertising, right?
Well, I find it very intriguing to me that all of a sudden it's like a lot of companies are really going out of their way to promote LGBTQ visibility in their commercials. So that's a perfect example of one. I saw another one not too long ago, which was also promoting LGBTQ visibility, and I thought it was just amazing. But now I'm starting to think, you know, are they just jumping on the bandwagon?
For me, it's like, you know how we always talk about when you,
visibility is great, right?
Wait. When you think about homosexuality and gay men, most people that aren't gay that you're trying to have a conversation with go straight to anal sex. They go straight to sex. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they can't get it out of their head. And that's why there's so much stigma surrounding our community in a way, right? And so now we have Cottonelle, which I think their intention was great, but I think their implementation was wrong. Because at the end of the day, you're then taking a gay couple, the first time you're showing a gay couple on an ad, and you're talking about
making sure your butt is clean.
Making sure your butt is clean.
To go see the parents.
Exactly. Which again, it's like it's a toilet paper company, so like that's what they do. So I don't know how they could have maybe better branded this commercial so that mm-hmm. it wasn't just necessarily about the fact that, yeah, we take it up the butt. But that's kind of what I took away from it. I'm like, Cottonelle, what? How did you, who came up with this idea?
It's almost very similar. You remember that commercial that got a lot of heat because of its racial implications where they had all these characters literally removing shirts, and as they're removing their shirts, they're changing skin color, and they literally took a black woman and turned her white, right? Like, they pulled the shirt over her, and all of a sudden, she was a white woman. And so, it's these types of companies and these types of people that try to do these commercials that really make it difficult for us to really try to, like, grasp the concept, because whoever is directing these videos should have been like, maybe that's not going to go too well with what you're trying to say. Maybe we could say it, like you said, in another way. But again, I think that a lot of these misses, because this is clearly a miss for them, is companies. I mean,
I think it's I think it's unbalanced, right? I think it's sort of a miss, but sort of great, because, like, all right, so they are a toilet paper company. That's what they do. They mm-hmm. clean butts. That is the goal of toilet paper. But at the same time, I just think that the way that they fashioned their ad made it look, especially to the public, that all we're concerned about is anal sex. When in reality,
or
every single fucking person needs a clean bum.
Yeah, you know that's why they said they were just going to see the parents, to meet the parents, so it didn't have anything to actually do with sex.
Right.
And then you also have...
That's a good way to look at it as well.
And you also have to... The reason that this even comes up for some debate, I would imagine, is if you remember back in our episode when we had Bobby Edwards of Squatty Potty on, pooping is so taboo. People don't talk about pooping.
Right.
So the idea that this is leading to a conversation about wiping your shit, that's one reason that people are... perhaps confused about it. Or...
I mean, that in itself is the reason why I just don't even look at the commercial, because I'm like, I have a Squatty Potty and I also have a tushy.
I think they could have done it better justice mm-hmm. if they not only included a gay couple, but there were three couples, a heterosexual couple, lesbian couple, and a gay couple, or, you know, a transgender couple, whatever. And they incorporated them all into one video about people going home to see their parents.
And not making it all about the gay couple.
And we all, as individuals, need to wipe our ass.
Well, again, I think these misses, because to me, I see this as a miss, they could have done much better, as you said, is companies trying to jump on the bandwagon, right? Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of these big companies doing LGBT commercials to support the community, and I think that they're all rushing out there to get a commercial out because, you know, it's the thing to do, and they're really not thinking the process mm-hmm. through, and I think that hurts them.
So, on the other side of things, I want to thank them for... actually featuring a gay couple in an ad, and note that they have been dealing with a lot of negative backlash from haters out there, calling the commercial disgusting, sick, nasty, and just tearing them down because they featured a gay couple. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that part of that is the fact that they featured a gay couple, but the other part is that it makes everybody just instantly think about gay sex and anal sex. At least it did for me. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. But that being said, I want to just give them a little bit of love because they did do something. They were trying to do something positive for the gay community. I think they executed it incorrectly, but at the same time, they should not be receiving tweets that are saying disgusting or sick or nasty because at the end of the day, girl, we all know we all take nasty shits.
Exactly. Mm. But it's important to note out.
Especially this one. She gets to the house and the first thing she beelines for the toilet.
She's screaming, I'm going to poop. I'll be down in a minute.
Yeah.
But you have to, every single company that goes out and has an ad featuring homosexual couples, they constantly get hate.
messages constantly, regardless of it. Of
which is what ridiculous.
Company. Yeah, but that's just going to happen.
It's just the way it is. You know?
But it needs to stop.
Absolutely.
And that's why we do what we do.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So I wanted to talk about a story, speaking of bullying, et cetera. But before I get to that story, I would also like to mention on a quick note that actor Luke Perry, a.k.a. Dylan McKay, from the hit series Beverly Hills 90210, passed away. He had a stroke a few days ago, and as a result of complications from that, he died. He was 52 years old. 52 years
so
old.
Young. Now,
the reason why I say this is because I remember growing up and watching that show, and he was actually one of my, like, hot crushes.
He was
a crush. And then Brandon was also a crush, and just like, oh my God. You know, these boys like were like, delicious. You know, some of the women really aggravated me, but that, obviously for obvious reasons. But Tori Spelling really
boobs.
Just. No, not necessarily because they have boobs. It's just Tori Spelling really rubbed me the wrong way in that show. I don't know why. And it just. Ugh. But anyway, he died. And I'm like, wow. And you think of it, he's 52 years. He was 52 years old. And he had a stroke. You know, and it goes to show you that, you know, I don't know what his lifestyle was, but, you know, whether you're thick, thin, or in between, you know, the reality is that this is something that can happen to anyone. Mm-hmm. And I was just shocked.
That's right.
I was shocked to see it, you know, especially since there were already reports that he had that stroke.
Life is short. Eat your veggies.
That's right. And eat your heart out. That's all I got to say. Enjoy your life. Because you just never know. You don't know.
All right. I get
right here today, gone tomorrow. It's like, and you run through life saying, oh, you know, I can't eat pizza because it's not good for your health. Have a fucking slice. Eat it. Like, seriously. Especially this one.
And that being said, also,
yeah,
take care of yourself.
Well, true.
Eat your veggies.
In moderation. So, I was reading some stories, of course, on Hornet.com, which is the home of
UnicornBooty.com. Nailed
on
it.
On point, girls. On point. Yes. All right. Oh, and I'm saddened, right? Because let me try to pull it back up again and see if it happens again.
And that wasn't scripted for all y'all listening.
Not
out
at
there.
All. So, I went to UnicornBooty.com and I hit enter and I'm getting an access denied error code, which means that UnicornBooty.com is no longer available.
Oh, no.
So, you know, I went to GoDaddy.com and typed it in to see if it was available because I was going to buy that shit, but it's not.
Well,
but it's just not, it's not working. So it doesn't take you to Hornet.com like it used to before.
I mean, but yeah, no. We know that it's always there because where do we get our gay talk term from? And
it's on sponsored this day by
gay history. The gay talk term comes from the book.
UnicornBooty.com.
No, the book.
UnicornBooty.com. Not really.
UnicornBooty.com.
Yeah. UnicornBooty.com.
But anyway, so I was on Hornet.com.
Dookie! Hey, girl!
So I was reading some stories on Hornet.com. UnicornBooty.com, I miss you. And so I found this article, and they were talking about Lady Gaga, and you know that Lady Gaga is big on anti-bullying, and she's really big on in the community, and she loves to give back, and she's very selfless in what she does, and she's also very famous because, you know, the bitch has talent. But it struck me really crazy that when she was in NYU, I believe it was Tisch, that's what she called it. It's one of the school, the music school.
Tisch, yeah.
When she was there, they literally, when she started doing her rounds around college on the campus, they had a Facebook group dedicated to bullying her.
Well,
which is kind of crazy to me, right? Because the whole concept of Facebook.
All I want to say is, bitches, you made a mistake.
I mean, she's got Grammys up the wazoo. She's got an Oscar under her belt for best song for in a movie. I believe she's got a Golden Globe. All she needs is a freaking
Tony,
and she'll be an EGOT.
There you go.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? I mean, people bully people all the time, and you know why they do it.
Mm-hmm.
They do it because they're jealous and they're mm-hmm. afraid. And so in this instance, they were literally just trying to tear somebody down who literally was like, screw you, and I'm going to stand up. And that's what she did. She mm-hmm. didn't let it like tear her down.
She had an interview with Oprah Winfrey in where she literally said that at one point in time, they literally threw her in a trash can. in a trash
Honey,
can.
In college, somebody shit on a leaf and put it under my door.
That's true.
I think you deserve that, though. Because you...
that's for why?
Terrible. Terrible.
No,
for
but...
why?
I don't know. You must have done something to somebody. You sucked it the wrong way. I don't know.
No. I did not deserve that.
No one deserves that.
I was kidding.
And unfortunately,
I know.
I'm saying, a lot of love, baby.
And unfortunately, this stuff is going to continue. Yeah. I mean, if you look at...
It's only getting worse, honestly.
Absolutely. And if you look at the First Lady's mission to stop cyberbullying, first of all, I haven't heard a single thing about that since he was elected.
I think she's just like,
she's just riding it out so she can divorce his ass.
But here... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just going to say that this is literally stuff that the president calls for people to do.
But here's what bothers me about this, right? Because Facebook, at the time when she was going to NYU, was only a year old, right around there. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you can create a group at that time, right? Typically, when I go on Facebook and someone's going to hate something or cut on someone, it's your personal post, blah, blah, blah. And you post, oh, I hate this one, like I do all the time. I hate this president, blah, 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 blah. They created a fucking face group, like a Facebook group to bully her.
Yeah, but you know
a
what?
A collective group of people, not individual posts here, a collective group of people signed up to this group to bully this woman.
It's interesting, though, because you think about it now, it's like if that were to ever happen, you can actually report things and things would be taken down. Mm-hmm. Back then, you couldn't. No. I mean, that wasn't an option.
Well, Facebook was a concept, and it was a concept that was being floated around in colleges. Facebook started...
I know. I couldn't get one until I went to college. My brother and sister got one. I was like, I want a Facebook!
Well, that brings up a perfect point. Okay. With the executive order that President Trump is signing, saying that we need to allow free speech back in colleges. Uh-huh. So, that's the thing. A lot of colleges are limiting speech nowadays. They're getting rid of these groups that we label as hate groups. They're not allowing them to speak their platform. Their platform is terrible, but it comes into question, you know, how much should we be pushing to be spoken at these schools?
So that's so interesting that you bring it up, because my next story, which I'll talk about in the second half of the show, has a lot to do with hate speech and spreading hate versus...
Hate speech is illegal, too.
Right, but what you're talking about right now is an executive order that may be signed.
Right.
For a group...
Which could legalize hate speech, right? Because...
No, it's not gonna... Hate speech is... It's against the law.
It's against
the
law.
Hate speech is not protected by the First Amendment.
But if you're on a college campus and he's saying that he wants to, you know, sign an executive order protecting or enforcing or reinforcing free speech... Who's to say that some of these people that go on these colleges and start all these crazy, you know, hateful groups that come out and protest and start saying all this bullshit?
Yeah, look at Charlottesville.
But it's also a really thin line, though, too, right? Yeah. I mean, like, you're walking a line and you're saying, no, that wasn't hate speech. That's my opinion.
Yeah, but it becomes...
So it's really hard to disseminate what's hate and what's just opinion and how it's... put out there is really, really my opinion, that's how it's can be deemed hate or not hate.
Well, you have to remember, when it comes to hate speech, it has to be with the incitement of violence. And I believe it was a 1919 court case at the Supreme Court where you can't go into a theater and yell fire.
Right.
Like,
so,
certain speech is not protected.
So you're right. And I think that's right. It's like, you know, but that being said, like, you... can still incite hate, whether you're inciting violence. You know what I mean? Hate speech has been defined by the Supreme Court as one thing, but in reality, it's this thing. And this thing is, if I write on something that I hate fags and hand it to a homosexual, that's hate speech. That has that purpose is to only hurt somebody.
Right, but that's not illegal.
It's not illegal.
Right.
You're right. But
you know, the way you said it, not
hate.
Only is it hate, but it's also very defamatory and derogatory, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if someone said, you know, I hate gay people.
I wouldn't say it's defamatory, but I know what you mean. It's definitely derogatory.
And derogatory. And
I gotta go.
Okay. I'll accept it. But, you know, it's like, but if you say, for example, I hate all gay people... Some may see that as someone's right to say, well, they hate gay people, just like they would hate chocolate or hate milk.
Right.
And not that I'm equating gay people to chocolate or milk or anything like that. It's just that it's such, like you said, it's such a thin line between
voicing an opinion
And being hateful.
And inciting hate.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And the First Amendment protects our right to our opinion, but the President of the United States is inciting hate
of
and divisiveness.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, he had all these rallies. He literally said, you know, I would literally just punch him.
Can we pause this conversation? Let's go to break because I really want to talk about my second article and it really ties into this.
Okay. Oh, she wants to talk about it so much that she's like literally wants to go to break. Okay.
No. I'm just saying like I want to, I think it's like perfect. It's a perfect segue, but I know that we have to take a break. So why don't we like take a moment, break, and then come back and talk about exactly what we're talking about.
And on that note, because you know, the mighty Trish said so.
I put my crown
we're gonna,
on.
That's right. We're going to take a break. We'll leave you with some music and when we come back, we've got a story from Trish. Here's some music.
If you need my hands to pull you up above the earth, well, I will lift you up to show you just how much you're worth, 'cause we need to be loved. So we need to be loved. If I had you here, I'd wear your heart just like a crown. And if it beats for me, then I
someone. right, welcome back, y'all. From the break, that was the incredible Anthony Starbo with We Need to Be Loved. I love that song. And, you know, given what we spoke about before we went on break, more than now than ever, we do really need to be loved. So I'm going to kick it over to Trish because she was just so excited about going to break and coming back and talking about the story. So I'm just going to hand it over to you.
Wait, we're back?
We're back.
Oh, shit. Okay, hold on, everybody. We're going to play something for you.
Lord.
Hey guys, just want to take a minute of your time. I just want to share an experience I had today at work. So woke up, as you all saw, it's beautiful out. Sun was shining. I woke up just in a great mood today. And I get to work. I love my job. Most of you know. Love it. Love the people I work with. It's a good shift at work. And towards the end, I got this table of two guys, and I told my boss, Laura, I said, man, these guys, they're just not that nice. But it's fine. It's just one of those tables that just didn't want to be bothered is what I thought. So I served them, and guy said he'd take the whole check and give it to them, and they were in and out. Wait a little while, and I go pick up the check, and to my surprise, he wrote...
So at this point, we see that on the check, it says, I don't tip fags.
Oh, fuck.
I don't tip fags.
She could have said that.
Okay. Now, I am all about people being entitled to their own opinions. That's one thing that's beautiful is that there's such a diversity of people. You know, I'm really, really good at being able to agree to disagree. And I would like to say, like, it's okay. But it's not okay. The fact that this has just become such an acceptable thing in our country, doesn't matter whether you're gay, you know, whether you're black, if you have a learning disability, it's okay now to just spread that kind of hate, to say those kinds of things to people. And I just cannot wrap my head around it.
It's encouraged.
Why did you feel the need, sir, to write that on there? If you don't like gay people, then that's... whatever. It is what it is. But to just say something like that, just don't tip me. Don't tip me. Are you aware that I just paid for you to eat? I'm sure that that doesn't cross your mind. When you look at me, all you see is a fag. But I need you to know something. I'm a lot more than that. I'm a mother. I work my butt off, sir, to pay my bills, to put my son into a good school and pay that tuition. I work my butt off to be able to do things like that. You don't know me. You don't know who I am. You just look at me and you see this girl wearing boy clothes and having short hair, and she must be a fag. I don't know what happened to you in your life to make you such a miserable person, sir, but I feel very sorry for you. I need you to understand that you did not ruin my day by doing this. Yeah, you know, I was shocked. My feelings were hurt. And then it went away. Within the first 15 minutes, you know why? Because I work in an amazing place. Look at this. Right away, my work family got me flowers. And you want to know something that's even better? Look at this. We all love you. I hope you do not have children, sir. I hope you are not raising a little human to grow up and be a bigot like you. I feel very, very bad for you. And again, like I said, I'm a lot more than this short haircut. I'm a lot more than a fag. I am a mother. I'm a 33-year-old woman who is just now able to get on her own two feet and do things on her own. And then I have people like you that think it's acceptable to try to knock those people down. You didn't, sir. You didn't win. You know, you're the coward. You're the one that wanted to write that note. You didn't pay with a credit card. You knew what you were doing. You knew what you were doing. And it's all right. But one little tidbit of advice. If you want to sit there and you want to spread your hate and you want to say these hurtful things, try to understand what it is that you're saying. I'm not a fag. I'm a dyke.
I fucking love her. So I saw this today, actually. One of our... All right, honey, calm down. You're adorable, but no. So I saw this today, and one of our friends posted it on Facebook, and I'm watching it, and I'm just like, there was a point in time in my life where me and my brother hated one another. We hated each other. And I would say to him over and over again, you're going to have a gay kid. Because you treat me so badly, you're going to have a gay kid, and that's something you're going to have to deal with. And I will always be there for that kid. And watching this and hearing her talk about how she was a mother and how she hoped that this person didn't have any kids, that he was raising in an environment of hate, made me think about what I was saying to my brother. And now, obviously, me and my brother are great. And if he did have a gay kid, it would be amazing. He would be a great dad, and he will always be a great dad. But I literally was sitting here like, there are people out there that have children and will literally write, I don't tip fags on a bill. And this woman's strength to come out and show everybody what she went through was so amazing. And so this is what I was talking about earlier in the show when we were talking about hate speech versus what's hate, what's not hate, what can people do, what can't people do, what should people do, what they shouldn't do. And here I am, I'm like, why? What? Like she said in the fucking video, just don't tip.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Why do you have to denigrate somebody to make them feel so bad about who they are? And she even said in the video, like, I got over it 15 minutes and I was fine.
But why does she get over it? You know, and this is one of the most captivating parts of that whole clip that we heard. You were watching the video. I just heard the audio on my end. And to me, the most breathtaking part about this whole experience is her showing, hey, listen, you tried. You tried to bring me down. You tried to break me. You tried to belittle me. You tried to make me feel like I am less than. And I have this support group behind me, my coworkers. Mm-hmm. Here are the flowers that my coworkers sent me. They say, I love you.
No, they said, we all love you.
We all love you.
And that goes to show he is absolutely a coward.
Yeah.
He wrote this and then ran out.
Yeah. Of course.
Coward. Yeah. Absolute coward.
Terrible.
If you have something that you disagree with, confront that. Be a freaking man
and
speak your piece.
But beyond that,
your
like,
hate, excuse me.
You don't need to confront it though. Like if you have an opinion that is hate filled, if you feel a certain way where you don't agree with a lifestyle, that is your choice. That is 100% your choice. But that being said, why in God's name do you have to then drag other people down with you?
Right. Mm-hmm.
There is no need to make somebody else feel bad about the way you see the world. That is your choice. And you have lived your life in a way where this is what you've learned and this is what you feel. But guess what? The world is evolving. The world is becoming something more, something better, something that maybe this person will never understand. But at the same time, you tried to hurt somebody for no reason.
Right. And you just opened us up to a lengthy message from Hans because you called it a lifestyle. He already called you out on that once.
Well, it's true. You know, our lives are not a lifestyle. This is how I was born, and this
is
how I am.
Yeah.
And it's okay. You know, we get caught up in the emotion of our conversations, and sometimes, you know, just words slip. And go in a direction that we're thinking we're meaning something else, and it's completely different. But you know, back to this wonderful message. This woman took it upon herself to assert her strength, in knowing that no matter what you do to try to bring her down, she's got a support system, and that is the most important thing. You have to realize that regardless of what you're going through, the most important, crucial, and critical part of your recovery process when something like this happens is to have a really good support system that surrounds you, that nurtures you and says, no, girl, this is not, you are not what this man says you are. You are much more than that, and we love you for it, and we support you. And furthermore, you know, we work in the service industry, all three of us, to an extent. And it struck me when she said, you know, I paid for your food. And there's a big truth in that, because you don't realize that when you work in the service industry, you're working for those tips. You know, the minimum wage that a server is paid is nowhere in comparison to someone, you know, working even at McDonald's. A server at a restaurant gets paid less by the hour than someone working at a fast food restaurant.
In America.
And they rely on those tips to be able to make that a lucrative move, a lucrative job, and to be able to pay for her child's schooling. She has a child, you know. If someone went to your job and said to you, hey, listen, you're an idiot, you're an asshole, you're a bigot, and I'm going to write it all over the walls at your job and make you feel like, you know, less than, you would be hurt. You would feel betrayed. And there's no difference in what this woman felt.
But what this bigot is doing, I'm sorry,
nope,
Chris.
Please.
What this
please.
Bigot is doing is he's not only trying to tear down an individual, like she was talking about, he's taking away from a kid.
That's right.
A kid. He is taking away money that could have gone to support mm-hmm. a child that she is raising, because gay people, sorry guys, have kids and can raise kids. And honestly, what you did there was not only hurt somebody and for no reason, what you did there was hurt somebody who may or may not be gay, or who is heterosexual, or who may be transgender. Who fucking knows? But what you did there was you took away from a kid that its mother works constantly to support. Yeah, that's what you did. Because you don't know where people are in life. You don't know their shoes. You're not walking in their shoes. And until you know that, whether you want to be hate-filled and you want to share your hate or not, you are literally just taking away from the future of America by being a bigot.
But not only that, you also take away from it also shows someone's ignorance, right? Because just because we're gay doesn't necessarily mean that we can't have biological children. I mean, my penis still works.
Does it?
Yeah.
At your age?
Amazing.
Oh.
Fuck her. Anyway, but it does work. And, you know, so there's a lot of ignorance behind the fact that just because you're gay, that means you can't have children or that you can't be a parent. Well, yes, I can, because I can biologically have children if I chose to have sex with a woman mm-hmm. or even have artificial insemination or go through that process. But you could also be in our very multifaceted aspect of, for example, our transgender community. You could have a transgender woman, male to female, that kept her male parts and she identifies as a woman and can be perfectly capable of procreating. Or on the flip side of that, you can have a transgender female to male who kept all of her female parts and is perfectly capable of carrying a child
yeah.
in her own womb. So when you make comments like that, they're ignorant comments, and you need to educate yourself on the fact that there is a possibility in all of this. There is absolutely no limits to what we as a community have the capability of doing, and you need to understand that we have a great power, mm-hmm. and our power comes from within, our strength and our support system, and what you tried to do failed. This woman is very strong, yeah. and I applaud her. We know her name? I think that she needs to be mentioned. It would be wonderful.
Before we
did.
Mention her name, I think we also need to talk about the fact that we've seen this so much lately.
Of course. As a result
it's
of
it's going to continue.
And it's going to continue. And we were talking about it before we went on break. And it's going to continue because of the rhetoric of who we call our president. And it is getting worse.
Yes.
And worse. And worse.
You know, and you know, the thing is that there's more and more evidence every day that surfaces about some of the things that this administration and the people that surround this person who we call president are doing to the LGBT community. The promises that were made all for the sake of gaining votes. And then, of course, now the promises of being made now and the efforts on that administration to gain more LGBTQ votes in this upcoming 2020 election. But let's not forget, you know, it wasn't the previous president or the president before that that banned transgender men and women from serving in our military. It was this president. Mm-hmm. There was an executive order that was signed to protect those individuals by Barack Obama to allow them to actually serve in our military openly, freely, and being able to be their true selves.
Right, undoing Bill Clinton's order.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So that was from the Democratic side. But it's also important to point out, something I wanted to point out was, for those of you who work in the service industry or you think about the thought that tipping should not be needed, under the federal law, the minimum that someone can be paid as a waiter is $2.13.
Mm-hmm. And here we are crying about McDonald's fast food workers making $15 an hour.
If you get tipped appropriately, you don't go home with a check. You go home with your tips.
Right. That's right.
Your check is taken 100% by the government.
All your taxes are all your taxes are out of there. But the thing about this is, this comes to the constitutional crisis. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
It comes to how far can the freedom of speech go? Our president is preaching to get this hate speech, to get these white supremacists to be able to speak their truth and their hate on college campuses, but this person's only picking a part of the First Amendment. He is all about free speech, mm-hmm. but then what happens when it comes to freedom of the press?
Well, it's all about free speech as long as it benefits his agenda.
Absolutely.
There's an agenda behind what this man does, and he has a master plan behind it.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. Yes, and it's all for him.
Yeah,
he doesn't
it's all
care
for him. Yeah,
he doesn't
not care for the country.
Right. Okay, exactly. Yeah. And all those thick-headed Americans who are going to continue to vote for him, he doesn't give a fuck about you.
No.
He doesn't
not
give
only
a
for
shit.
Him, not only for him, but for the countless senators and legislators that are currently serving in our government right now in our House and in our Senate that support his agenda and do nothing to reel back the craziness that this man is trying to promote.
Well, some of them,
our government.
Some of them are finally standing up. I mean,
some of them are.
The resolution already passed in the House to block his
border wall,
his emergency declaration. Mm-hmm. And now it seems that we have enough votes in the Senate, thanks to, I can't believe I'm thanking this person,
Rand Paul.
Exactly. It looks like we're going to finally get that. Now, do we have enough votes to overrun his veto? Doesn't look that way.
No.
But this president...
But you never know. The tide could turn. I say this. Listen, the fact that it passed in both houses and Mitch McConnell had to come out with his turtleneck and say, this is going to pass...
All right.
It was absolutely just incredible to see. But anyway.
So we're moving on to a different subject. But before we do that, I just want to close this out by saying I think that it's important that we identify what hate speech is and what it isn't. But we can't do that, right? So the reality is there is a definition.
Yes.
That was brought down by the Supreme Court. But in reality, you don't have to spread your hate. You can keep your hate inside of you, and that will tear you apart, and you have to live with that for the rest of your life.
That's right.
But what you did in this situation was you literally, for no fucking reason, you could have just not tipped and walked out, and God, we've all been there. We've all gotten a $0 tip for no fucking reason. But what you did here was you just... had to say something. You just had to make yourself feel like you're better than this person because that person is a dyke. But guess what? You don't even know what a dyke is. You don't know what a fag is. You don't know what gay is. You don't know how we live our lives. And you also don't know all the shit that we've been dealing with since the day we realized that we had to embrace who we truly are.
Mm-hmm.
Where this fucking country still doesn't embrace. So you need to shut the fuck up. Keep your opinions to yourself, because at the end of the day, hate speech is hate speech. And if you say, I don't tip fags, that is inciting hate. And I don't care if the Supreme Court says so or does not says so, but that is what it is. You literally are trying to tear people down.
Well, it's important to touch base on this, because there's a difference between speaking hate and hate speech. We're doing exactly what that asshole was doing. He's preaching his opinion. Yes, we are.
Okay.
And there's a difference between speaking, like I said, speaking hate and hate speech. Hate speech is in inciting violence. If you can't say that you call the people next to you and pull out your guns and shoot the closest police officer next to you. You can't. That is illegal speech. But what we have and our Constitution was founded on was the freedom to speak our opinions.
Yeah.
And we will protect that to the day that we're all dead.
And that is fine.
And it's not acceptable.
No, it's not.
But it's legal.
No, I'm not saying it's not legal. What I'm saying is it's wrong.
It's wrong. Absolutely. Correct. Fundamentally, it is absolutely wrong.
And you're
wrong.
Right. On this show right now, we're doing exactly what this person did, with the exception of, have I once called him a douchebag or a fucking white supremacist or a KKK leader? What have I said? I called him a bigot. I did call him a bigot, mm-hmm. but I didn't call him a fag. I didn't call him
But so
any...
does she. And she's calling him out. His bigotry is what... the result of what happened was as a result of this man's bigotry. He has hate for someone who he probably doesn't even understand or know based on what he was taught. But here's what I would like to say. So regardless if you're a Republican or a Democrat or an independent or whatever, we've all had those mothers that have enshrined in us these amazing, beautiful words. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all.
Exactly.
And I, my mother always said that to me.
My mom did too.
Did she say that to you?
She said good luck.
That was good. But it really is. We really are undergoing a constitutional crisis, I feel like. We have infringements on the First Amendment, mm-hmm. whether it be the press, speech, religion. We have a crisis. Absolute crisis when it comes to the Second Amendment, which was, I think, in 2008 was the last time it was taken up in the Supreme Court with the Heller case saying that all citizens have right to gun. Mm-hmm. But then to
well,
own
they just
guns,
passed
excuse me.
Major legislation in one of the committees. Well, actually, a vote in committee to actually do
in the House
and actually propose very, very substantial legislation against in favor of gun control.
Yeah, but something that I found interesting is, what about the 14th Amendment? Mm-hmm. Equal protection under equal law.
Well, and to that point,
where are we going with this conversation?
I'm going to go back to her. So I think what we're losing in our society every day, more and more so because of social media and how quick we can reply to things and give everybody our opinions, is we're losing our sense of civility, right? Our sense to be able to believe what it is that we believe, right? Know when to say that shit and when not to, and be able to actually interact with other humans that are part of your society. And more we're seeing that that's actually, it's corrosive. It's gone. It's not there because people are not afraid anymore to come out with their hateful shit and tell it to you to your face, when before it was like, I may not like a gay person or a black person, but we're in the same space. We're in the same restaurant. I still have to be civil because we are in civilization. But that is gone.
No, yeah. But what's gone is American. We no longer have an American society. The last time that we were all together, regardless of faith, color, 9/11. Sexual orientation, 9/11. Mm-hmm. We apparently need some 2,000 plus innocent people to be murdered, to see eye to eye, not even agree with one another, but understand that we are all Americans. We are all one community. That's what it takes. Sure. It's disgusting that it's gotten to that point that we need a massive tragedy to unite the nation.
I can't tell you how many times working in the service industry, I can tell you how many times I've wanted to motherfuck someone up and down, left and right, through the ringer. And I have to compose myself because
I don't.
Have to remind. He doesn't, unfortunately. I've had to literally like Trish, stop. Stop and like stop and like.
Nah, if you're being a dick, I'll call you out.
Yeah, me simmer. Too.
No,
yeah.
I mean, but
sit down, honey. Because now I'm on my soapbox.
But my thing is, it's like the reason why I do that, and I sort of kind of bite my tongue and know is one, obviously I'm employed and I'm working for someone else and someone else's business and blah blah blah. So I need to sort of kind of remember that and put that in the back of my head.
Yeah, no, I do too. But
and two It's the sense of that there's, I believe in the sense of civility, in the sense of you have your right to believe what you believe. I have my right to believe in what I believe. And let's be able to coexist in a space in where you don't have to throw it in my face and I don't have to throw it in yours.
Or gun you down.
Okay.
Or
so
gun me down.
I got to say something.
Or have a beer.
I got to say something.
But go ahead.
All right. So.
Of course she does.
I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. You are working for somebody that. That's their business. You need to respect that. You need to respect the people that come into that place, and you need to take care of them. However, if you're working for an organization or a business, not like us, because we work for a great person, sort of, most of the time, depending on the day, they should have your back.
Of course.
Let me finish. When it comes to your personal well-being, when it comes to somebody, say if I was working at the restaurant I was working up in Massachusetts, and I got something like this, and I looked at my boss and I said, if that person ever comes back in here, I want you to turn them away. And they said to me, sorry, we're not going to do that. I would walk out. And
that is your power. That is your power.
But you should not work for anybody.
That doesn't support you.
That doesn't support you. In this case, what was she was given flowers, and it literally said from the organization. Exactly. So if you are working for an organization that does not support you, they are also doing the exact thing that I'm talking about by spreading hate. They're allowing people to come in and denigrate their employees, and that is not okay. And yes, sometimes I get on my high horse and I tell people to shove it, because it's not okay to not tip, and it's not okay to treat servers, bartenders, anybody less than, because you're not less than. You're busting your ass and trying to build a life just like the other people are.
But
like,
she didn't go off on this customer in that restaurant. You would have, but
no,
she didn't.
She found out after the fact because the customer was already gone.
The customer was a coward, so he wrote that and he ran
out. She created a video. However, I will say this. I would not go off sometimes, as I've seen you go off on certain customers for certain things.
I've seen you go off on people too.
On certain things. However, you would have been justified when that person spit on you or spit at you if you jumped over that counter and beat him with every bottle that was behind that bar.
I did.
So I'm just saying, you know, there's just certain things. Once you cross that line, it's like, bitch, I'm going to lose my job. If you spit on me, you are not going to live.
But I didn't lose my job.
No, you didn't lose your job. But you didn't also beat that fucker down with the bottle.
No, but that's because the bouncer pulled him out.
So, but my thing is, it's a catch 22. All I'm saying is that, you know, as a civilization, we need to be able to coexist regardless of what beliefs we have. And you know, religion is very, 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 it's one of those subjects or one of those things that sort of kind of take a civilization and divides us. But in this country, because there is freedom of religion, you can practice your religion and I can practice mine and they can practice theirs. And we sort of kind of have to coexist and live with that and deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the fact that we are growing up in a society now that just can't deal with those differences and they have to lash out and be hateful towards one another is where the problem is coming in.
You're right. But the problem is actually coming in the fact that we're at a place in history right now where we're finally potentially breaking through, right? So we are making strides, and there is so much visibility around the LGBTQ plus community right now that people wanted to come at us, combat us, they are doing that because they can now, because they have a president, and an administration that are allowing them to do so.
It's encouraging them.
Right. So what's really happening right now is all that progress we made is just getting a little bit of a slap back, and that's what happens in progress.
Yeah.
But that's why we do what we do and why we talk about what we talk about, because we can't take it and say, all right, that's okay, I'm going to keep pushing. We have to say, that's not okay, and I'm going to keep pushing.
And, you know, just like she exercised her right to go on Facebook and put this man on blast, not really saying who he was, and I don't really care. I love the fact that she was strong and she went out and she did what she had to do. It's also important to note that we are three individuals that sit on this table here, and we express our opinions. That's what simply they are. They're opinions, and we come up and base our opinions on some of the facts that people that do stories and put their published work out there. We read it. We talk about it. We have a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. And we invite others to chat with us and, yeah. and dish with us. And there are opinions. And, you know, this man had an opinion and he expressed his opinion and he got a very, very, very good reaction
yeah.
and a good pushback mm-hmm. on that opinion. And yeah. that is her right. And in the end, try to be civil, but don't let people walk all over you. And if it comes to a point where you have to clap back, well, you know, I'll let Trish teach you. Because she's really good at it.
I'm not, yeah, whatever. But all I'm saying is that, you know, you said it, I think you said it perfectly, Tom. What we do here is we express our opinions, and we all have our own individual lives and our own individual paths that we've walked. So we all have baggage, and we all have what has brought us to who we are today. That being said, we are on the show, and we are presenting opinions and having conversation, but you know what? Whether the conversation incites something negative or positive, it's a conversation that needs to be had. And mm-hmm. and conversations only lead to education, and conversations only lead to enlightening people. So that is
we don't know it all.
That is the most important thing that we do here. We have something that comes up, we talk about it, and we enlighten one another.
I've learned so much from you.
We've enlightened by our listeners.
I've learned so much from Chris. And, you know, and that's the thing. I have a lot about Canada. You know, it's that's just the beauty of it all. Yeah. I don't know it all. You don't know it all. Neither does he. And
I learn something every day.
We learn something every day. And we learn about different people and their experiences. And we talk about them on the show. And, you know, it's just, again, it's our own expressed opinions. And not everybody's always going to agree with them. And you don't have to. And that's your right. But that's how we do it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know what? That being said, I'm sorry. I know that we keep talking about the same thing, but I actually enjoy it when individuals reach out to us and they have, you know, they tell us that what we said wasn't for them, you know, mm-hmm. and they express their opinion. I enjoy that because it gives me a chance to breathe and see another point of view.
Well, that's the reason we're doing this. We're that's not right. just talking just to talk. We're talking so people listen. Well, I mean, yeah, we do. But we're speaking to the community.
Yeah, that's right.
So if someone disagrees with us, I want to hear that. I want to hear that. I'm not going to say you're always right. I'm not going to always say I'm wrong. But I want to hear the sides of it. I want to, you know why something rubbed you the wrong way. And mm-hmm. I want that to be exposed.
So, in light of this amazing woman and strong woman putting her story out there, I said it before. I want to say her name.
Oh,
she needs to be recognized.
Her name is Michelle Kreider. I think that's correct. Kreider.
She definitely sounded like Jess.
So here, I thought it was.
Yes,
Jess
I know.
At
first, I did too.
That's
why
I looked over.
I was like, is this Jess?
So what I want to say to Michelle is, thank you for being brave. Thank you for sharing your experience, and thank you for putting those words out there, because those are important, and people who are going through what you're going through can find the strength in knowing that you went through that and that you found an outlet to let that out and to let people know that this is not okay. Mm-hmm. And we definitely appreciate that. And thank you so much for it, because mm-hmm. As I've said it before, Nick says it all the time, visibility is our biggest strength.
And love,
it always will be.
Is love, is love, is love.
Yeah.
Is love.
And you know what, too? If you are at a restaurant or if you are anywhere, and you are overhearing a conversation that's negative towards somebody that's working there or just in the vicinity, you have the opportunity to stand up and have a conversation.
And educate someone.
And like I said, all the time, I say it all the time, when you actually have a conversation, that's when you're going to change your mind. You're not going to change somebody's mind by just
being silent.
Being silent and having a rainbow tattoo on your foot, you're going to change their mind by
like
having
trash.
A conversation. Mm-hmm.
But I will say, if at any point in time you try to engage someone in a conversation,
Carrie Mason,
and it's trying to lead to, or it may lead to, a place in where you feel threatened physically to your person, don't.
I just agree.
Walk away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
It's like, you know, just, you have a job and you have a little person at home to take care of, it's not worth it. Let it go.
Yep.
Be like Elsa. Let it go.
All right. We got to let this go.
Yes. Yeah.
That was a good combo, but so we got to let it go.
It was. It was an amazing combo. And thank you. Like I said, for her strength, she was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing to see. So do we want to cover this last story or shall we go ahead and wrap it up?
I already did cover that story.
Okay. Well, on that note, we're going to call it home. So why don't we kick it over to Nick for our new segment, Mama Kim's Minute.
What the fuck, Mama Kim? I can't even give you a minute today because you didn't email us anything.
That's why there's nothing under the notes.
All right. I'll do it.
I have nothing in my email.
Oh, you need to redo that thing. Hold on. All right. So let's see here. Okay. So anybody want to time me?
This is fantastic.
Oh, you're going to do it? All right.
Oh, sure.
All right. Okay. Hold on. Time out. La, 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 la. Stopwatch.
And I'm gonna go. Okay. So the first story was cost of treating transgender troops may just be 1% of U.S. military budget. Pink news. And then the next one is GSN crisis appeal for Chechnya raises over $1,000 in just one day. And let's see. Cottonelle,
you gotta hurry it up.
Defends gay ad after customer threat and boycott. Pink news. Let's see what else. And also, Studio 54, she said, hey, I just watched an excellent documentary on Netflix about Studio 54. I couldn't stop thinking about how just 8 short years after the Stonewall Uprising, Studio 54 opened their doors for the first time.
Run out of
watch
time.
Watch it if you have a chance. And one more thing. Let's see
here. Rapido.
Crisis and people tortured in gay purge need to flee the country. That's it.
Nailed it.
That's not funny. You did it. Wasn't. 49 seconds. But can I just say, what is going on with my email? Why have I?
You're
I
a
have
mess.
None of
First,
them.
It was her computer. Now it's her phone.
No, it's both. There is
and
no,
her face.
I literally, there's nothing from Mama Kim in my email.
Mama, we love you. I got you, girl.
That's all right. We can work on that week. When we're off
I know
the
what's
air.
Happening here yeah. is you're sending emails and Tom's like, I'm going to put it in my notes.
Oh,
and she's deleting that shit.
She's nasty. She's nasty.
Listen. I would nasty. Never take her thunder. I came through for her because she wasn't ready.
I don't know. There's more to Tom than a sweaty forehead. You got to watch out for that.
I'm not gonna say. I love say, her. I'm not gonna say again that I carry Mace, but I carry Mace.
Okay, wrap this up.
All right, that's so all right. This week's gay talk term, of course, brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
Is fairy.
Not really.
One, it to last exist. Or endure. A dildo cast made from paper mache never fairies out. Two, to suck cock.
Yeah.
This week's gay talk term is fairy. Chris? Gay talk? Gay cock? I don't know. It's
oh,
fine.
Oh, my Lord. All right. So on this day in gay history, of course, brought to you by
UnicornBooty.com.
I'm so horrified that doesn't exist
I know.
Exist
it's all gone. Go bye-bye. Anyway. So on this day in gay history, March 4th, 2003, in the state of the Commonwealth, of Massachusetts, court hears oral arguments in Goodrich versus Public Health. The lawsuit led to Massachusetts becoming the first U.S. state to legalize same-sex marriage back in 2004.
Yes!
Yes, Massachusetts!
And they paved the way.
They paved the way. They started it. They started it.
Massachusetts to kick it off, 32 states in, and then finally the Supreme Court just sealed the deal with that 2015 ruling. So that's
right.
Amazing. All right. So listen, guys, if you love the show, make sure that you go rate and review our show on your favorite podcasting service. This helps others know about the show, and it ensures that it also becomes more visible among our podcasting community. By subscribing to our show, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episodes are published. You can also support us on Patreon. I cannot thank you all enough who do, because you get access to that live video stream every week when we record, except like today we had some technical difficulties.
Difficulties.
So you might see two videos, but you know, we're getting there. So thank you. By donating, anything that you donate, anywhere from a dollar or more, can be collected every month. We do so, and then, you know, you guys support the show, and we're super appreciative. So, Chris?
Oh, I am going to say this?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to personally thank the wonderful Dr. Goldstein for, you know, granting me an audience.
And me, I was there.
Yeah, Trish was there too. She heard a lot. You know, meeting with me, really looking out for my well-being and kind of opening me up, giggity, to just, you know.
He's not a virgin anymore. That's right.
Speaking my story, and it was very difficult for me, but I felt like it was something that I needed to talk about.
So before you go on yours, I do have to announce that we do have a very special episode that will be airing tomorrow night for you folks. It is a story very personal to Chris. It is also
very,
very personal. We did something completely different. Trish and I sat here and
for so long.
Yeah, it was for so long, but it was personal. It was very intimate. It was very something completely different that we've never done on the show. And I really truly hope that you guys enjoy it. But you know, it is also going to be something that we'll be discussing next week. So.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be great. So next week we welcome back Dr. Evan Goldstein.
I can't wait.
Who will join us live? Sort of, to talk about the experience for this month's Tales from the Tale.
Which, of course, has to do with our co-host, Chris.
Actually, it doesn't. Long story. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. So anyway, I wanted to just say to you, while we're on air, thank you. Thank you for being brave. Thank you for telling your story. And I think that our listeners are going to really love it tomorrow. You did an amazing job, and I'm super proud of you, and thank you for doing that.
I appreciate that, Tom.
I'm not going to say I forced him, but I...
Yeah.
She kind of did.
He kind of, like, called you out on it, too. So, awesome. Christopher?
Can we put a rubber on this, please?
Yeah, blue
as
one.
As many as you want.
Before we go on my ass?
Yes.
Awesome. All righty. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media. Big surprise. Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0. Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0. Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And hopefully nobody will create a group just to, you know...
to hate us.
To hate us or anything like that. But if you need to contact us, you can do so by reaching out to our website, going on our website, gaytalk20.com, clicking on the Contact Us tab, which is located right at the top of your web browser.
It's the Mike Pence fan club.
Web browser. All right, listen, you can also, by going to that website, you can leave us comments, you can suggest topics, you can submit a question for the cast, or... an individual host, usually these two, or you can call us at 334-GAY-TALK. If you need the phone numbers, it is 334-429-8255. With that, don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 7:30 p.m., except today, because Chris was off from school.
Yavol!
And you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, that is our show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.